Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, September 3rd, 2025. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Gladish Community Center in Pullman to close September 15th. Washington medical professional plaintiff part of winning lawsuit against Trump administration for removing vital medical data from government websites. And more from the Workers Over Billionaires protest in Moscow that was held on Labor Day. That's all coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Gladish Board of Directors has decided the Gladish Community Center and Cultural Center near downtown Pullman will shut down effective Monday, September 15th. Gladish Board of Directors President David Harder told the Daily News, "The costs of operating the nearly 100-year-old building have exceeded the nonprofit organization's ability to fundraise. The building's revenues steeply declined when the Washington Charter School Commission ordered the Pullman Community Montessori School to close last year. The school had been a major tenant in the building. The similarly named but unaffiliated Montessori School of Pullman continued to operate and pay rent for a time, but decided to lease space at the Pullman Public School District's Pioneer Center to hold classes this school year. Other tenants now must leave by September 15th. They include Alternatives to Violence of the Palouse, Washington-Idaho Symphony, Community Band of the Palouse, Whitman County Historical Society, and the American Legion. In July, the Gladish Board announced it was putting the building up for sale. Harder said monthly overhead at the building was between $20,000 and $40,000. He said utility costs, deferred maintenance, the loss of tenants, and economic uncertainty led to the decision to close the building. The decision also draws the final curtain on the fundraising campaign the Gladish launched in 2019 but ultimately suspended. The $10 million campaign would have remodeled the main theater auditorium and other performance spaces that needed repairs. Harder said, "What will happen to organizations that are part of the Gladish nonprofit, such as Oscar's Closet and the Gladish Players, is up in the air." He said the Gladish is working with a commercial real estate broker to sell the building. There will be a final Gladish fundraiser event Saturday, September 13th, before the building closes. The previously planned Mrs. Romper Romp Dance Party and Mrs. Romper Costume Contest will get underway a week from Saturday, starting at 5:30 p.m. at the Gladish Community and Cultural Center. University of Idaho President C. Scott Green says he expects international student enrollment to be down 50% this semester because of foreign students having difficulty obtaining visas under the second Trump administration. The disclosure came during Green's State of the University address yesterday, in which the president said overall enrollment will be strong again when the school releases the final fall semester tally next month. The Daily News reports one international student said they had concerns about the status of his peers during the Q&A after the speech. Green apologized to the student for the difficulties. He said he was, quote, "not proud of the environment in the country. We're glad you're here. Know that." Green also said the federal government has cut a number of research grants this year. He said it would bankrupt the university to try to continue the grant projects with university funding. So Green said the university had no choice but to wind down the research activities. He noted the UI was forced to reapply for a $50 million Department of Agriculture grant after the federal government canceled it earlier this year. According to previous reporting, the federal government canceled the grant because it would help growers deal with climate change. The Trump administration has withdrawn funding for climate mitigation projects and slashed funding at the EPA this year. Trump has repeatedly but wrongly claimed that the climate crisis is a hoax. Someone asked Green about claims that the UI is indoctrinating students. Green replied that the university never indoctrinated. He said the school staff is made up of good people who try to show both sides of issues and that they should focus on what they can control and continue living their values. Green said, "No one can force a value change on us." The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services responded to a lawsuit by the Washington State Medical Association and other plaintiffs by agreeing to restore government web pages that had resources that addressed health issues which affect the LGBTQ community and information on opioid use among women, among other health issues. Trump used two executive orders earlier this year to censor important life-saving information from government websites. The U.S. Health and Human Services Department removed dozens of pages from its websites to comply with the Defending Women from Gender Ideology Extremism and Restoring Biological Truth to the Federal Government and Ending Radical and Wasteful Government Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Programs and Preferencing Executive orders. The executive order said the federal government would only recognize someone's immutable biological classification as either male or female and called for federal agencies to remove all statements, policies, regulations, forms, communications, or other internal and external messages that promote or otherwise inculcate gender ideology. Some of the pages removed were last year's public health advisory from then-U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, who said gun violence is a national public health crisis. Also removed were reports called Responding to Transgender Victims of Sexual Assault, Minority Veteran Care, Resources for LGBTQ Youth Experiencing Homelessness, and Facts About LGBT Youth Suicide. Washington State Medical Association President Dr. John Bramhall told the Spokesman Review the settlement, quote, puts the information back where it should be so that our member physicians and the community can use it, and it also secondarily raises an issue that people may not have been aware of. Most people wouldn't be aware that these sites were being messed with. Now they will. Bramhall said Health and Human Services provided no advance notices of the removal of the web pages, but physicians who use the data, reports, and resources every day started to notice that certain pages were missing. Bramhall said it, quote, seemed like there were specific keywords that guided which sites were going to be taken down, which web pages were going to be deleted. And these typically have to do with vaccination requirements, the STI, with gender and disparities in care. So the usual sort of buzzwords that the administration has been excited about have filtered down into a deletion of scientific information that is used by doctors and nurses to treat and to guide people on these issues. So the issues don't go away, but the information that they use has gone away. Bramhall said he is concerned the problems will continue. He said, we still have an administration that is guided more by gut than by science. We still have an administration that is attacking universities, that's defunding the National Institutes for Health, that's taking down information about subjects that they feel uncomfortable with. Washington chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics President Dr. James Polo, whose group was a plaintiff in the lawsuit, said when critical health information disappeared overnight, that trust was undermined and children's health was put at risk. You're tuned into the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by Palouse Prairie Charter School, an EL Education accredited expeditionary learning model school serving students in northern Idaho. PPCS is a free public charter school that combines hands-on learning, rigorous academics, outdoor adventure, and character development. looseprairieschool.org. Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Moscow Contemporary, which connects, supports, and creates community through art and arts education. Moscow Contemporary is located at 2012 West Pullman Road and moscowcontemporary.org.
We have more coverage of the Workers Over Billionaires rally held at noontime on Labor Day at Friendship Square in downtown Moscow. We'll start with Lisa Spinelli, followed by UI student Chandler Burleson, Bob Johnson, and UI Journalism and Mass Media Professor Emeritus Kenton Bird.
My name is Lisa Spinelli, and I am a retired Forest Service employee. I worked for the Forest Service for 27 years, and I can speak to the deep dedication that your public servants have for the lands that they serve. We serve them, we manage them in your name, in the name of the American people. And the description that Kathy just shared with everyone certainly is having an impact on the Forest Service, other Department of Agriculture agencies, Department of Interior, every agency across the federal government. But that's not why I wanted to stand up and speak today, although that is a major reason that I'm here. I wanted to share an opportunity that will be held on October 4th, just up in Worley, the inaugural Cecil D. Andrus Symposium. Now, as most of you know, Cecil D. Andrus was our former governor and also the Secretary of the Interior for the United States. He championed things like public education, environmental stewardship, and in his honor, we're holding the inaugural Cecil D. Andrus Symposium. We have a host of fabulous speakers lined up to talk to you about what is happening today in our country, and I encourage everyone to sign up. I have some pamphlets here, and I can help you do that. And that's what I wanted to share, is another opportunity for action and for bringing each other together and for making connections across our Northern Idaho communities. Thank you.
Hello. Hello, everyone. My name is Chandler Burleson, and I am a freshman.
Closer.
Wonderful. I am a freshman at the University of Idaho, and I just wanted to talk about how we should continue fighting the good fight and gathering here like this. And when I was younger, I lost sight of how America is falling apart. And I thought that I didn't want to be an American. But seeing everyone gathered here today and in protesting like this, I have never been prouder to be an American. And I am reminded that 250 years ago, a brave group of men, of people, gathered and decided to fight a tyrannical king who taxed them so they were not able to live in any sort of normalcy.
Character attacks!
Exactly. They had such a long list of grievances that it became one of our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence. And one of these brave men, George Washington, has said an amazing quote that I'm going to read to you today that I believe with all my heart we should follow. The thing that sets the American apart from all other people in the world is that he will die on his feet before he will live on his knees. And I just want to say that we should all continue fighting like Americans, whether it be in protests like this or any other way, from boycotting to voting to protesting, anything we can to defeat this tyrannical king. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Bob Johnson.
Hey, Bob!
Hey. We have a an elected president who is a narcissist, whose only goals are to enrich himself, to grow in power, and to aggrandize his ego.
And to stay out of jail.
Yeah. I want to focus on one thing. We heard earlier about the gutting of the federal workforce. Now, what could that have to do with increasing Trump's power? Well, we get rid of enough workers. Eventually, we say, oh, we need federal workers. How do we get them? Through a merit-based civil service system? No. Through patronage. Through the selection of cronies and sycophants.
That's right.
And it's an unstated goal, but it's coming.
It's
and
in
I'm warning.
It is.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's like the mafia.
Yeah. So I just wanted to alert you to that. And thank you all for being here. We need to see a few thousand more.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kenton Bird. I've lived in Moscow long enough to remember when Frank Church was our U.S. Senator and Cecil Andrus was our governor. Look around you and see how many black or brown faces you see in the crowd. I saw just a handful. The reason they're not here is they are afraid.
That's right.
The current administration has created a climate of fear that targets people that don't look like the majority culture. Our University of Idaho students have lost their support centers through the actions of the Idaho legislature. But at the national level, the people who are cleaning our rooms, who are working in restaurants, doing gardening and yard work around the this community and around the country, they're in hiding. They're keeping low profiles out of fear of ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And so on this Labor Day, let's give a round of applause to the people who do the jobs that we can't do or we don't want to do. And we heard earlier from Todd about how teachers at Moscow schools are prepared to stand up to protect our students from ICE. But you should be aware that ICE will find its way to Moscow, and people who are protected status, who have green cards, people who have applied for asylum, refugees from parts of the world that are in far worse shape than we are going to be sought out and persecuted. So we, as part of the majority culture, need to be prepared to stand up and protect them.
Right.
So.
That was UI Journalism and Mass Media Professor Emeritus Kenton Bird, preceded by Bob Johnson, UI student Chandler Burleson. And we started that clip with Lisa Spinelli. They were speaking at the Workers Over Billionaires rally held at Friendship Square in Moscow Monday.
A first-of-its-kind pilot program on the Flathead Indian Reservation offers a new path for community members with nonviolent mental health or substance use crisis and aims to bridge critical gaps in Montana's rural care system. The Community Peer Support Pilot Project is a partnership of Salish Kootenai College's Journey to Wellness and the nonprofit Never Alone Recovery Support Services. It deploys a team of peer specialists, people with lived experience in addiction and recovery, to respond to calls and staff a late-night drop-in hub. Project Director Shea Farmer says the need for this kind of connection is dire, especially to avoid clashes with law enforcement.
Having the folks on hand to deal with some of these issues, a lot of the jail folks aren't trained in this, so sometimes things aren't handled as they would be, and then people get upset. But really, it's just the lack of training, awareness, and just accessible resources to everyone, no matter who you are.
Funded by a community grant, the program extends the hours of a non-clinical drop-in center and provides provides a mobile response team to help bridge some of the critical gaps in resources. Don Roberts of Never Alone Recovery Support Services explains the extended hours at their drop-in center have created a safe, sober space for the recovery community.
The fact that we're open till midnight, like, we get a lot. That's actually sometimes busier in the evenings and nights than it is in the daytime when I got my full crew there. But we got a lot of people coming in at night, just hanging out and talking about recovery and doing meetings.
The original vision was for law enforcement to call the team into the field. Robert says they've responded to three such calls and he hopes to see momentum build. He adds funding challenges are the largest barrier, with a wait list of about 200 people for 44 beds.
What's not working is the funding pieces are still not coming together. I have to chase money every year, and every year I don't know if next year I'm going to be able to pay my staff.
Roberts argues that for programs like his to be sustainable, Montana must find a way to integrate peer support and recovery residences into its Medicaid billing structure. The future of the pilot program will be decided in January based on its outcomes. Roberts hopes for an expansion to a 24-hour service, which he says is important for a community grappling with limited resources. Anyone in the community who needs immediate support from the team can visit or call the hub in Pablo. This is Tramell Gomes for Big Sky News Connection.
The most recent U.S. Department of Agriculture National Drought Mitigation Center map shows most of north central Idaho, including all of Latah, Benawa, Clearwater, Nez Perce, Shoshone, and Lewis counties, is in extreme drought. There is also a small area in the exceptional drought category, which includes the northeastern corner of Latah County and western Shoshone County. It also goes into Clearwater County a bit. The map for Washington and Idaho shows all of Washington east of the Cascades is in severe drought, with eastern Whitman and Garfield counties in extreme drought, as well as all of Assotin County and much of the Cascade Range of mountains. The entire map of the two states is at least in the abnormally dry category, with southern Idaho east and north of Boise in the moderate to severe drought categories, and Treasure Valley in southern Idaho is in the abnormally dry category. Meteorologists in Spokane report this has been the driest summer in Spokane in the 144 years since the National Weather Service began collecting data. There has been 0.26 inches of rain at the Spokane International Airport, compared to an average summertime rainfall of 2.33 inches. Summer of 2025 this year beat the previous record low of 0.44 inches of rain set in 2015. And before then, the record was 0.48 inches set in 1949.
This year marks the 90th anniversary of Social Security, which has helped generations of Wyomingites retire with dignity after a lifetime of hard work. The program created during the Great Depression provides retirement, disability, and survivor benefits to more than 69 million Americans. AARP Wyoming Associate State Director Tom Laycock says Social Security lifts 30,000 Wyoming seniors out of poverty every year. Nearly one in five people in the state rely on the program for 90% of their income.
Social Security has never missed a payment in the last 90 years. The concern is, we know if Congress fails to act by 2034, millions of Americans will see their earned benefits cut by about 20%. And we are asking Congress to look into ways to keep Social Security strong.
Social Security trustees project that Congress will need to make adjustments, as it has done in the past, within the next decade to maintain current benefit levels. Removing a tax cap on top earners would be one way to ensure the program's solvency. Currently, workers only contribute payroll taxes on the first $176,000 earned in a year. President Donald Trump has promised to protect Social Security and uproot waste, fraud, and abuse across the federal government. But Laycock says the administration caused confusion when it announced that beneficiaries would need to meet in person to verify their identity. After pushback from advocates, the administration backed off those requirements.
Requiring people to do in-person visits for perhaps some identification verification, that's kind of a problem in Wyoming. We have a large population that lives more than a 2.5-hour drive away from a Social Security Security Office.
Social Security, an earned benefit often referred to as an entitlement program, injects nearly $3 billion into Wyoming's economy every year. Laycock explains that each time workers receive a check, payroll taxes are deposited into Social Security trust funds.
Social Security is actually fully funded by dedicated revenue. So first of all, it doesn't add any cost to the federal deficit, but it's also what keeps it fairly solvent.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Wyoming News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, the National Weather Service has a heat advisory in effect until 8 p.m. tomorrow night for most of eastern and central Washington and northern and north central Idaho. Down in the LC Valley, Lewiston, Clarkson, it's called a excessive heat warning. The heat advisory means hot temperatures, high temperatures 95 to 102 degrees, and hot temperatures and high humidity may cause heat illnesses. Drink plenty of fluid, stay in an air-conditioned room, stay out of the sun, and check up on relatives and neighbors. The forecast for the Moscow Pullman area is calling for mostly clear conditions through Saturday, with a low of 61 tonight with widespread haze, high of 93 tomorrow with widespread haze, low of 59 Thursday and Friday night, highs 91 Friday and Saturday, 30% chance of showers Saturday night, mainly after midnight, mostly cloudy, low 59, and a 30% chance of showers Sunday, mainly in the afternoon, partly sunny, high 82. Current temperature in Moscow is 90 degrees. A half hour ago, the temperature in the Lewis-Clark Valley in Lewiston was 99, and the temperature in Spokane was 100. Air quality in the region is moderate.